It's by you that we do all these things. It's by grace that we have been called. And it's a privilege, O Lord, to be used by you to touch other lives. We thank you for how you showed your daughter Kiki how privileged and blessed that she is materially in this part of the world. And also thank you for using her to touch the lives of others. May this be our portion, Father, in different aspects of life, wherever we are. May it be at our workplace, may it be with our neighbors, may it be us even walking the road, just seeing somebody whose lives we can touch, seeing people whose lives we can touch. Use us in this way, O Lord. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we, Lord, look into your perfect law of liberty today, in these few minutes that we'll be looking at your word, Lord, let it convict our hearts. Let it make a difference in our lives. This is the reason why we are gathered, that we are gathered so that we may go out into the world and make a difference. And so, Father, as we gather, touch our hearts, O Lord, that we will not remain the same in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, since the Bejides have taken a lot of my time today, we'll make this short today. So, please, can anybody remind us what we talked about last week? Excuse me. Thank you. The battle belongs to God. And what other things did we talk about in the battle belonging to God? Yes. Thank you. So we know that as Christians, there is no demilitarized zone. There's no war any longer for your life. There will always be a battle in one way or the other because you now belong to the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy will attack you. The Bible tells us that the devil goes about like what? A roaring lion seeking, looking for whom he may devour. So, as Christians, there is no I am safe from the attack of the enemy. No, he looks around for. But there's one consolation that we have. The battle belongs to God. Any other thing? Sorry? Whom do we turn to? Exactly. Okay.
So we should always turn to God.
So, and there was one other thing that we talked about, which is very key. When we talk to God, what's before we're able to say, I'm confident that this is what God is going to do, what do we get from God? Thank you. It's very important. The word of God is, and we see it over and over again. What does God say about this situation? Jehoshaphat, he got a word from the Lord. Which other king did we look at? Hezekiah. He got a word from the Lord. And so it's very important that we as Christians, that we are connected to God. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ taught us, that without him, what can we do? We can't do anything. We can do nothing without him. So we have to be connected to God, to receiving a word from God. And when we receive the word from God, to act on it in faith. Just quickly, in what ways can God talk to us? Sorry? Through the word. God can speak through the word. What other way? Dreams. God speaks through dreams. Revelation. Even within the word, you have a strong revelation that this is God speaking to you. Prophecy. Very important. Paul says, do not despise prophecies. Prophecy. Other people. God can use other people. Any other way? Signs and wonders. God can use a sign. Very true. And you know that God can talk to you audibly also. God can talk to you audibly. So God has many, many ways of reaching us. And one of the things I always pray and ask God, Father, I call you Father because you are my Father. If you have to talk to me through signs and other people, it means I'm not listening. So, God, please talk to me because I want that relationship that God will be able to speak to me as his son. All right. So, today we're going to look at still on this topic of the battle belongs to Lord. To the Lord. Sister Shade Akingbade, where is she? She's already preached half the message today. So the Holy Spirit has already started. Please, if you don't come for the time of prayer, you are missing, no? Because God already started talking to us since this morning when we gathered to pray. There are many things that God has said to us this morning in prayer. So this is just a continuation and a confirmation of what God has started with us already at 9:30 when we gather to pray this morning. So if you are in a habit of, well, it's not very important. God has already started to talk. So Sister Shade already, the first Sister Shade already told us about what she had read about abiding in God. And that abiding is very important. Sister Biola reiterated the same thing. There is no God speaking to you without you abiding. Last week, I told you, you cannot experience God in casual coming into his presence and living. Can anybody tell me what is the greatest asset that God has given to man that each and every one of us have in the same measure? Eh? Unbelievers don't have prayer in the same measure. There's something that God has given to everybody born of woman. Time. That is the only asset God has given everybody in the same measure on this earth. Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, we have equal time. Why is time important? For you to do anything in life, what you have is time. If you have 10 years on earth, what you can achieve in 10 years might not be as much as what somebody who has lived 20 years can achieve. It might not be as much as somebody who has lived 30 years can achieve. And it is very important for us to know, especially you young ones. You know, when we look, you know, Brother Liu, Grandma Bejide, me, when we look at Sister Yabo, you're there. Sister Comfort, Brother Shegu, you're all there. When you look at life now, you're only looking backward because you have lived, well, may God give you many, many more years. But it's very, I don't think I have as much time ahead of me as I have behind me. Because if I have as much time, then I have to live to 120. But how many people live to 120? Not many. So I can only look back now. Yes, I'm looking forward in what God can still do in my life. But when it comes to time, I can only look backwards because I have spent more time on this earth. And all I'm trying to do now is to make the remaining few more meaningful than the one that has gone behind. Young ones, you have more time in front of you than behind you. It is important that you spend your time meaningfully. Because if you spend your earlier years not making anything of your life, your later years in life will not have as much meaning. I tell my daughter something. If you work hard in your earlier years in life, you will not have to work as much in your later years. If you spend your earlier years playing, if you spend your earlier years not making your life meaningful, you might have to work twice as hard in your later years to make anything of life. So it is very important, you young ones, to learn. All we have in life is time. Jesus Christ told us in the Old Testament that we should do what with our time. We'll number our days and apply our hearts to what? To wisdom. Please, what you have is time. If you spend your time like you spend, you know how people do when they gamble? Kalo kalo. Thank you. What is kalo kalo in English? If you spend your time as if you are gambling, you will spend the older years working twice or thrice as hard for the years that have been lost in youth. Okay. David was a man who his earlier years, he spent it seeking God. He spent it working hard. And I know he spent it working hard because I, by God's grace, was once a shepherd and a piggery farmer. I reared pigs. It's my brother here. We're on the farm together. So I know what it is to come every morning to clean out the poo from the pen of the pigs, to feed them and give them water, to bathe them. I know what it is every year to go into the ditch for the chicken, to clear out the chicken pen for the incoming ones. It is back-breaking work. And I know where God has brought me from to where I am today. And I thank God because those hardworking years, they counted for something today. Now, we're talking about time. For you, every one of us, for us to be able to hear from God, we need to become a friend of God. How would you know, please, can anybody tell me, how would you, what makes a friend a friend? Sorry? You spend time with each other. Any other thing for you to know that this person is my friend? You have to agree together. If I want to pray, I want to go and drink beer, can we be friends? It will be hard. You have to agree. You have to spend time with each other. What else? Sorry? Well, that's still, you have to agree. You have to agree. What else? That is still agreeing. I can tell you something that I know of friends. Sacrifice. Financial sacrifice. If I have a need, a friend helps me with my need. But do you know what that friend is giving you in sacrifice? Do you know it's their time? Because if I give you $1,000, that $1,000 I earned it spending my time for what? For money. And so what I'm giving you is in the time I have accumulated that is now quantified in dollars. I'm giving you my time. When you give your offering to God, what you are giving is the time God has given you that you have exchanged for money, you are giving back. Because time is your life. So if you've spent 40 hours and you make $2,000 out of 40 hours and you buy a bag for $2,000, that is a week of your life is spent on a bag. Sister Folake, why are you looking at her? Is my message saying something? It's true now. You spent a week of your life on a bag. That is what it is. So what you spend your money on is a direct connection with what you are spending your life on. And you can't say, I am your friend. And you have a need. I know you have a need. And I'm doing nothing to help you with that need. It's the same thing with God. When we come before God, we cannot say that I don't have time. And I want to say, I want to be the friend of God. I know something, my brothers and sisters. No matter how busy you are, whatever is priority on your mind, you will find time for it. No matter how busy you are. That is why sometimes in this church, I don't look for people who have nothing to do things in church. It's the busy people I look for. Because people who do nothing, you can't call them to do anything. People who are doing something, who say, I'm busy, Brother Bumi, I know that when God becomes priority, they will find the time to do something. And this is what David did. David was a man through the time of him walking as a shepherd boy, tending for his father's sheep, found time within that busy schedule to look for God. He wrote Psalms. 90%, 80% or 90% of the Psalms we read from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150 were written by David. He found time, and you could see his heart poured out in the Psalms he wrote. And that's why I say it again. For you to hear from God, you can't rush God to talk to you. You can't rush God. You have to give God time. You have to devote time to wanting to hear from God. It is not when the battle comes. And believe me, brothers and sisters, the battle will come. Life is such that you will face one battle, and there are different levels of battles. Life is such that you will face one battle or another at some point or another. If it's not a battle, when you are younger, you younger ones, what are your battles now, right? Jemima, school. What battle are you facing in school? That is a battle. Calculus. Okay, so you are still facing calculus. Jola, you finished calculus. What is your battle now? Job. Job. Brother Osman, you already have a job. What is your battle now? Things that work, like what? So you are already facing governmental. Okay. You see that everybody, you go from one level to another. The battles never stop. There are battles that are personal. There are battles that we come to that are territorial. That is why the Bible tells us that there are principalities, there are powers, there are spiritual wickedness. Wickedness in high places. Because, brothers and sisters, you see, when governments make laws that go against Christians, when government begins to make laws that when you have a church, we will kill you, you cannot gather to call upon the name of Jesus. In the Soviet Union, in China, they make laws that the church has to go underground. These are territorial battles. They are territorial battles. Society itself has its own battles that you are faced with within the culture. Some people say that in Christianity now, you have to, the Bible or the Christians, they have to flow with the culture. So you have to change Christianity to meet with the culture. It's a battle. Because different types of doctrines will come. I've had people, big time pastors, as they are called, they are saying that the Bible is not the word of God. It only contains the word of God. Some say that the Bible is riddled with errors and this and that. There are battles. The Bible, for how many years has the Bible been surviving? Do you know about the Gutenberg Press? The first press that rolled out the Bible. Somebody said that this Bible that they are rolling out will go extinct. The person died. The Bible is still relevant for our time. In the Roman times, they tried to extinct Christians, make Christians extinct. Christianity is still on because the battle belongs to the Lord. And we as Christians, we have to, no matter how busy our schedule is, find time to know God. Because that is the only currency we have. We have to find time to be a friend of God. Okay. So in the story that we read about David and Goliath, everybody paid attention, right? Everybody paid attention. Okay. All right. These people know will kill me. All right. Now, I just want to pick about four key areas in which we read about David's battle with Goliath, which points us also to knowing how to position ourselves when battle comes to be able to be victorious. Now, I said, and hear me well, do battles ever end in life? No. What is God's disposition for us when we face battles? What does God want from us? He wants us to be what? Eh? Run to him and what? Be victorious. Be victorious. Okay. Number one point. Goliath was not David's first battle. God will not make you face Goliath when you are a child in the faith. And I know this because it's a pattern that I have seen over and over again. When the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they had enemies waiting for them before they got to the promised land. And they could have gone one path and faced those enemies immediately they left Egypt, or they would have gone another way. And God took them the other way because God said that so that they would not face battles in front of them because they were not ready yet. Somebody who still has the mindset of a slave, who still have a mindset of, can I do it? I'm already conquered. Cannot come to the place of victory immediately. So Goliath was not David's first battle. David said that he had fought what? He had fought the lion and he had fought the bear. So he had been used. God had given him practice before he got to fighting Goliath. What we read was from 1 Samuel 17. Sister Fola Shade, please read the previous chapter, 16, verse 13.
Which of the Fola Shades?
The Fola Shadid I read for us is. I have it all.
Sorry, which verse? 16?
13, 16, 13.
16, 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Sister Shalewa, is the Spirit of the Lord in you? Yes. Sister Ura, is the Spirit of the Lord in you? How do you know? Thank you. Did you hear what she said?
No, let us.
The Bible says the Spirit bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God.
Every one of you that is born again, you have the Spirit of God living within you. So the same thing that David has, each and every one of us, we have. Now, let me tell you one further secret. The Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples, right? There was one disciple called Peter that said, "Ah, Lord, you don't wash my feet. Why? Because you are my Lord. How can you be washing my feet?" And what did Jesus Christ say to Peter? "If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any parts in me." Do you know why they had to wash their feet? Sorry? Yeah, who said dust? That's it, the dust. Why they had to wash their feet from dust was that in that time, how many of you have bathrooms in your house today? Is there anybody who doesn't have bathroom in your house, inside the house? We all have bathrooms inside the house. In those times, they didn't have bathroom inside the house, so they had outhouses, and they had public baths. So if you wanted to take a good shower, you went to a public bath, had a good shower, and had to walk dusty path back home. And by the time you got home, your whole body is clean, except what? Your feet. And then the servant in the home will now take your feet and wash you, and then everything about you now becomes clean. That was the analogy that Jesus Christ was trying to teach them. By virtue of you being born again, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. By virtue of the work you work daily, there are certain things that might be sinful that you have done, which you will need forgiveness from God for. So it doesn't mean that you are not clean. You are clean because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. But those little things that you do, that when you confess them, it now makes you totally clean. And it's in that place of total cleanness that you also need the Holy Spirit for service. So the Holy Spirit is in you because you are born again. But the Holy Spirit doesn't want certain things in you when he wants to walk through you. Can any boy tell me there's an animal in the Bible that is used as a picture for the Holy Spirit? What animal is it? Why a dove? It's gentle, it's pure. A dove will not, anywhere there is rancor and fighting, you won't find doves there. In our modern age, what do we release doves for? Wedding, because it's supposed to be peaceful and loving, right? And that is the actual symbol of the dove, because wherever there's rancor, wherever there's argument and fighting, the Holy Spirit will not stay there. So if you want the Holy Spirit to come, and again, remember I've said that the Holy Spirit is already in you. Now you have infilling for service. If you want him to fill you, Sister Shadi talked about the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. If you want him to abide with you all the time, not only that he's in you, because you are born again. But you are now a friend. We read it every Sunday. We say it every Sunday at the end of service. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the words. If you want to know that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, it's an abiding fellowship where God, you won't need to do long before he's always talking to you, because you are abiding in that fellowship. If you want to know that abiding, that is where you need those feet washed. You need that time to seek to be in his presence. Then, as the Holy Spirit directs you, you'll begin to fight little by little battles. That when you now get to the time when a real battle comes, because you have fought the little battles, you will not need to be afraid. Was David afraid of Goliath? He wasn't. His brothers came to him, and his brothers thought, oh, you are proud and this. David said, is there not a what? A cause. Is there not a cause? Because you, my brothers, you are here. The whole army of Israel is here. And this uncircumcised Philistine is just messing the name of the Lord our God. And you are doing nothing. But what could they do? They couldn't do anything. This man was 9 feet tall. He says 6 cubits. If you look at NLT, I think it says 9 feet. How tall is 9 feet? So his head was here. Brother Osman, just stand up for a second. See, this man is a wrestler. He's a bodybuilder. No matter how strong I am, I would dare not want to be with him, because I've seen what he can do in a sumo wrestling ring. So for him now, imagine this brother to now his head be here. Maybe Brother Peter, being a soldier, might want to try him. Thank you. Sit down. You need to watch. So David, for him to face this man, the next thing, they gave David armor. And that armor had not been what? Had not been tested. But do you know that David still fought with armor? David just left the armor of Saul and took up the armor of God. He dropped the armor of Saul. Look, David had all his life been fighting with the armor of God because he was a righteous man. He was a man who had his loins guarded with truth. He had the armor of God. He had the word of God. Do you know he had the word of God? Who wrote the psalm? Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Which word? God's word. David had it. So he had the armor of God. And Saul wanted to give him his own armor. Brothers and sisters, when you go into battle, things you have not done before, you can't use it. You can only rely on that which you tried and tested in your life. Those times, when you get to battle, let me tell you another secret. You see, when you see people doing things of exploits before God, they don't start there. They have started many, many months or weeks or years in the closets that nobody is seeing. It's from the secret place that God now brings them out into the open to displaying his power. What you see outside is power. But that wrestling in the secret place, nobody sees it. Jacob, except it was written, if not that it was written in the Bible, we would not have known that Jacob wrestled with an angel all night. All we see is that when he came, you know, that's how he now began to walk. Because that cripple, there was something, an experience he gained with God that he had never had before. This man who had been running away from his brother all along. And, you know, to tell you that this man was still cunning, When he was to face his brother, who did he send first? He served the least loved wife. He said, then the wife he said he loved, he sent him. Then himself, where did he come? At the very back. He was still protecting his own life. He could sacrifice others. So, but, but after he met with God, in that wrestling match, he was the one who now overtook them and met his brother because he was a changed man. You cannot, if you've not tried and tested the armor of God, you can't take the armor of man and use it. And if it's the armor of man you have depended upon all your life, these kind of battles you will come into, the armor of man can do nothing. If the armor of Saul could have done anything, do you know that of all the soldiers that were on that field, Saul was the tallest person, yet he could not fight Goliath because he found somebody that was taller than him. You have to know your armor. You have to test and try your armor. You have to be able to fight the lion and the bear before you come before a Goliath. To David, whether it was a lion or bear or Goliath, all of them were beasts. What was David's number one concern in battle? We've established he wasn't afraid of Goliath. What was his major concern? Sorry? Thank you. Brother Tunde said it. Say it, please, louder. He was jealous for the name of God to be glorified. He was jealous for the name of God to be glorified. How can you, all you this Philistine, you this dog, be saying this about the armies and defying the armies of God? And then Goliath cursed David with his own gods. And we know by the word of God that every god that is of man is a demon. And demonic power cannot stand before the power of the living God. So the battle, whether you like it or not, the battle of David and Goliath was a spiritual battle. It was not a physical battle. He cursed him with his own God. And David said, Goliath, I'm coming before you in the name of the armies, God of the armies of Israel. Today, God will deliver you into our hands. Today, I will have your head. This was a young boy. Young boy. And then Saul said, take my armor. He left Saul's armor. I can't use your armor. What I've tried and tested, let me. He went to the brook, got 5 smooth stones. And with one of those stones, he killed Goliath. Lastly, so our battle doesn't start with Goliath. We have to know our armor. Try and test our armor because we cannot use the armor of man. We have to use the armor of God. We have to be jealous for the glory of God, for the name of God to be glorified. We have to be jealous for the name of God to be glorified. Lastly, God does not need your help. What did I say? God does not need your help. You can write it down and do some research if you have time. Judges chapter 7, we read of where Israel went into the battle against the Amalekites and the Moabites. And who was leading them then? Gideon? Gideon. And Gideon had an army of 32,000 men. Sister Shadi Akinbadi, please open to Judges chapter 7. I want you to tell me How many Amalekites and Moabites came after the armies of God? And Gideon had only 32,000 men.
Kings, Judges is before Kings.
So you go after the Torah, you have
yes, Judges was seven, okay.
Joshua, and then the Judges.
Judges seven.
Seven. There's a place there that talks about, just gives a picture of the number of the Amalekites and their camels.
Okay. Six. And the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth.
No, not that one.
Oh.
That is the... This one was about the number of the Amalekites. Go further. It's about either the middle or towards the end.
Okay. 12. Okay. Thank you. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites.
Yeah.
All the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts.
As numerous as what?
Locusts.
Does anybody know how many, when you see locust blanket field, about how many would you see? Millions. Some of you have never seen locusts before, and I pray you never see locusts too. But when you see locusts, it's like when locust comes, everything will be like a carpet of green, like a sheet, because the locusts will be covered everywhere. There was a time I went to northern Nigeria. I think it was Sokoto. I went to the market, and I saw a meat seller. And so I don't remember whether it was me or somebody else was going to buy meats. And we came to the meat seller. You know, all we saw was just black. I said we wanted meats. And the man just did like this. And we saw meats. Because there were flies had covered it. We didn't see the meats. But when he did this, we saw the meat, not knowing that it was flies we were seeing covering the meats. Yes, bro. Eh? There was no grocery store. So the Amalekites, the Midianites, as numerous as locusts, and this Gideon had only what? 32,000 soldiers. And out of the 32,000 soldiers, God told Gideon, your 32,000 soldiers, they are too many. They are too many. So you are facing an army, minimum, maybe about 100,000. And God is telling you an army of 32,000 is too many. God said, tell them, if anybody's afraid, let them go home. And as Gideon told them, more than half of the 32,000 left. Because when Gideon told them that, there were 10,000 soldiers left. And God said to Gideon, your 10,000 soldiers are still too many. I will do a test for them. Take them to the river, and I will tell them to drink water from the river, and I myself will do the test to pick who I want. And they went to the river, and some of them cupped water and were lapping the water to drink. Some of them, they got on their hands and knees to drink the water from the river. And only 300 were the ones who took the water to drink from their cupped hands, lapping it. And God said, those 300 are the ones that will go with you. 300. You are facing an army that is like locust for number. Please read what happened after he took the 300, just immediately after this verse.
And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream of his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of the Midian. It came to a tent and struck it as so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream.
Gideon heard what?
The telling of the dream.
And its interpretation. That he did what?
He worshipped.
He worshipped. Let's stop there. Gideon had a word from God through somebody else dreaming and telling of the dream. An army of 300. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to the battle, God does not what? Sorry? God does not need your help. Many times, what God will do, he alone will take the glory for it. He alone will take the glory for it. And I've experienced it before. Can you spare me 1 minute just to tell you, I might have said it before, how I got my job at the Treasury Department? Have I told you before? Eh? You won't hear it. Okay. At that time, I had been home for 2 years. I didn't have a job. This church was supporting me. No job for 2 years. You know how you've looked for work for so long and it hasn't come and you get tired? I got tired of looking for work because I had extended my strength. Resume after resume after resume, nothing came. That man sitting back there wearing black that we call Brother Tunde, he called me, "Bra Bumi, our job place is looking for somebody, looking for a developer." About a week or 2 weeks later, he called me again, "Bra Bumi." I couldn't give him my resume because I was tired. I couldn't believe that giving him would make any difference. This man called me again, "Bra Bumi, okay, just send it to me. That's all. You don't need to send it." He was the one that forwarded my resume to the workplace. And they called me for interview. I did the interview. I didn't feel that the interview went well at all. I didn't feel it went well. By the time I got home, they called me. The guy said, "How did you think the interview went?" I said, "It didn't go. It wasn't one of my best showings. It didn't go well." And the guy said, "Well, they want you. They want you." And he said, "How much do you want?" I said, "When I left my last job two years ago, I was making $90,000 per year. If you give me that, I'm okay." The guy said, I'm telling you. The guy said, "Don't ask for 90,000. Ask for $120,000. I have never experienced where they are looking for you. Somebody is saying, what you are asking for is too low. Me, that for 2 years, there was no job. In the twinkle of an eye, God did it." So, brothers and sisters, the God we serve is able, he doesn't need our help. If you have strength, he won't do anything because he will let you expend your own strength first. Then when you are tired and you are ready to now say, "God, I don't have anything, please help me." When you are ready and you call upon him, what God will do many times, you will open your, you know how, yeah, and then God will help you close it. That is the God we serve. He's able to fight our battles without our help. But we need to be able to say, "I want to be your friend. I want to hear from you." As my sister said this morning, "I want to know the place of abiding in you." Because God is waiting. David said, He has laid a table before me in the what? In the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. My cup does what? It runs over. That is the God we serve. We have to come to the place of knowing God this way, my brothers and sisters. We have to come to the place of knowing God this way. Because the God we serve, the battle belongs to Him. Let us pray. Precious Lord, once again, we give thanks unto You. For Lord, You are a God of power. And You will never allow us to take glory for what You will do. Because when You do it, Lord, we will know that You have done it. It will be evidence to us. What we pray for is that we recapture and come back to these practices, Father, that we had of wanting to be Your friend, wanting to spend time with You, wanting to know You through Your word. Lord, wanting to hear from You because You do speak. You do speak. Help us in our busy schedules to find this time. And if we have never known You in this way, You teaching us to kill the lion and to kill the bear before we're able to face Goliath, before we're able to face territorial spirits and take kingdoms, take states, take nations for Your sake. Lord, bring us back into the school where it is You that will teach us. As David said, that You have taught my hands in battle and my hands in warfare and my feet in battle, that You will take us and teach us that way. Teach us to trust You. David did not wait for Goliath to come. Your word says David ran towards Goliath because his confidence was in You. He had put on the armor that was tried and tested in his life. Therefore, he could face anything, not in his own strength, but because You had gone before him. Lord, You still walk in the lives of Your children this way. May we come to the knowledge of it, O Lord. May we walk in such victories, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please help us, O Lord. The times in which we live, we know they are becoming increasingly difficult. And we need You for these times. Because we have known freedom in America for so long, it doesn't mean that it will always be like this. So for the day of adversity, help us to prepare. Make us prepared, Lord, we pray, that we truly will be people You can count on, no matter how difficult the times may be, no matter how hard the life may be, to look to You, to hold on to You, to saying that because of what You have said, this and this will happen, and to stand on it by faith. We want to know this dimension of You, O Lord. Please help us, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the glory, Father, do we ascribe unto You once again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Can we all stand? And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the rest of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord!